It's great to be with y'all. It's a thrill to be in First Baptist Church Pflugerville when Ron and I moved back from California. See, we're from Garrison, Texas, in deep East Texas, behind the Pine Curtain, close to Nacogdoches. Grew up in the same hometown. I got saved in 75 at First Baptist Church Garrison. Immediately couldn't stop talking about Jesus. I'm not boasting in that. I just didn't know you weren't supposed to just talk about him all the time. And back then, if you talked about Jesus all the time, everybody believed you were called to be a preacher. So I was called to preach. Preached my first sermon in 1975 at First Baptist Garrison. Ron and I met high school, long story. By the way, where is Rhonda? Right before the service started, I was looking for you. I couldn't find you. There she is. That's my wife, Rhonda, right back there waving. And she'll be back. She and I will both be back at that book table at the end of the service. That I'll mention that in just a second. But we've been together 44 years, New Year's Eve. A great, by the way, anybody engaged in here? Anybody engaged? Any engaged couples? And you admit it, your parents don't know it yet. But anyhow, okay, you're engaged, all right. But anyhow, so we got married on New Year's Eve, 1976. And so we're coming up on 45. 3 months after we got married, First Baptist Church, Crockett, Texas, called and wanted me to become the youth director at First Baptist in Crockett. So 3 months later, we're in the ministry and have been ever since in a variety of different ways. But we're from East Texas. We went to California in 99, and in 2014, we moved back because granddaughter was born in Round Rock, but they lived in Pflugerville. So the first place we moved when we came back was right here in Pflugerville, and we came back. Long story short, we explain it now. We're from East Texas. And when he said, you know, we're from California, I went, oh, no. You're going to wonder, oh, great, here's another one. But anyhow, so we're from here, went there, and as I accidentally said one day, had enough sense to come back. But we look at it now spiritually. It was our 15-year California missionary journey. Okay, so that's why we were out there, and we came back. But it's good to be in Pflugerville again, and we're back in East Texas half the time, third of the time here in Kentucky with the other daughter and almost three-year-old grandson over there. So 2018, I retired from full-time staff ministry, and now Ron and I are focused, as David said, on marriage and family ministry, helping churches develop ministry teams. And as he announced, I just thought I'd let you know, I've already met a couple that says count us in. I already got one. Okay, so anyhow, you'll find my email address, and you can let me know, and we'll get in touch, and plans will develop out of that. But I want to get right to the sermon, because I used to have a problem with going too long. But there's this great big clock back there counting down, so there's no way I can ask for forgiveness later. But anyhow, David has asked me to come and share about unveiling the mystery of relationships. 3 Sundays in a row, that's the theme of all the whole 3 Sundays, unveiling the mystery of relationships. Now, the reason we're calling it unveiling the mystery of relationships, the principles are pulled a few of the key points out of the book series that the Lord had me and helped me write. Started 44 years ago. It's really the memoirs of Rhonda's and my journey. I said memoirs, not memory of wars, okay? It's memoirs. So anyhow, the things that we've learned, and there's 5 books in the series. We just finished them. They are at the printer. We now have the set together. But we're pulling principles from Unveiling the Mystery of Marriage, but we're applying it to all relationship categories. So each week, we're going to discuss how it applies to singles, couples, and families. Whether you're engaged, seriously dating, married, single, whatever your status, you have relationships. You have relationships. Singles, couples, and families, we'll put those 3 categories there. But each week, we're going to unveil the mystery. Because isn't it a mystery? Life is sometimes very difficult to figure out. It almost feels like the principles of how to have a thriving life instead of surviving life are sometimes elusive and hidden, and they keep the good principle of how to have a healthy and wonderful, blessed life from the Lord. It's like they're always running away and trying to hide those good principles. And we got to find them again and discover them again. So for 3 weeks, we're going to look at unveiling, discovering, finding again the principles that help us have healthy, thriving relationships, whether single, as couples, or families. Week one, we're going to discuss about rediscovering God's original design. Rediscovering God's original design for our relationships. That's today. Next week, we're going to look at protecting our relationships. Week three, we're going to look at how to build our relationships up instead of tear them down. And it's all going to be all about communication, okay? So we're looking at original design today, protecting that relationship against the enemy's attack next week, and then building our relationships up through healthy, wise communication. Now, those 3 weeks, those 3 points happen to be the 3 first books of the 5-book series that we just recently finished. And right here is a picture of that. We just finished it. It's only been a few weeks ago that we finished the series. And the 5-book series, if we have that image, I don't know, maybe we don't, but it's tied together. There's 5 books. You'll see them on the table out there. And that image, it's tied together with a 3-fold cord. When you order the series, and by the way, they're 10 bucks for an individual. The whole 5-book series is 40 bucks. But it's tied together with literally a 3-stranded cord, tied together with a nice little knot. And it's got a little tag on it that says, a 3-fold cord's not easily broken. Yeah, and y'all know what that means, of course. There's the husband, there's the wife, and then there's Jesus woven together in the relationship. But that series, these first 3 weeks, we're going to pull little key principles out of those chapters, a few of those 3 books. And you can look at those later if you'd like out on the back table back there. And also when you come back there, Ron and I have some hugs and kisses for you. We just love church life. We got hugs and kisses for you back there at the table where you can pick up Unveiling the Mystery of Marriage. And I brought one up here on the platform with me. I'm not going to eat it because I left my water over there. But right there is a hugs kiss. They have them. Did you know that? They've got the regular kisses. They got the hugs. It's milk chocolate with white chocolate wrapped and swirled around it. Here's a hug for you if you come back. And they're COVID protected. We didn't touch those things. We poured them in the little cups, and we've got the little toothpicks. You can just jab you a kiss and take it, and nobody else but you's touched that. Amen? Just be careful with that thing when you pull it out of the kiss, and if you're giving a kiss to your spouse or your loved one, just be careful with it there. But there's also, and it was going to be a silly inside joke. It was going to be, but David ruined it. It was going to be a silly joke, but guess what I found at Walmart yesterday? They have a new flavor of kisses. Guess what they are? Birthday cake. And as a silly inside sick joke, there's birthday cake kisses back there too, if you'd like to see what that new flavor tastes like. Well, let's get to week number one today. We're going to discover today keys for following the pattern of God's original design for our relationships. And of course, the key verse there comes from Genesis, because that's where original design is found. And by the way, you know, we talk about being an originalist. When it comes to the Constitution, you're either an originalist or a revisionist, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody kind of dive off into that political realm every now and then? Well, I'm an originalist when it comes to the Word of God. Amen? We don't need any revisionists of His Word. We need to be originalists of God's Word. So the keys that unlock and unveil the wonderful beauty of life itself, the keys that unlock and unveil the healthy principles for a life blessed by the Lord, they're found in God's Word, and it's the original design for relationships that we're talking about today. So look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. It's in a little small print there, but let me read it to you. Because point number one today, the key for following the pattern of God's original design for your relationships, whether you're single, a couple, or parents and children, we were created in God's image to reflect or bear His image. Now pause for a moment. Let it soak in. We just found the key to life itself. the reason we were created, the reason we were born, the reason we exist is to be His image. He created us in His image, and then we'll find in a moment what we're supposed to do with that. We're created in His image to bear His image. That's the first simple truth we need to know today. It comes very simply from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. You know those scriptures. God said, "Let us make man in our image," and the key is in the next word, "according to our likeness." Image and likeness. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And then it says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. And then it says, male and female, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Because whether you're single, you're a male or a female. If you're a couple, there's a male and a female. Parents, a father and a mother, a husband and a wife, a father and a mother. You see, I have Tracy's five different people at once. And that's why I'm so confused all the time. I'm first. Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? Number one, relationship. You see, we're unveiling the mystery of relationships. Guess what your first relationship is? With Him. With Him. Your first relationship, whether you're single, married, or have a family, you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God the Father. Amen? You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God the Father. See, my first relationship and in priority of emphasis and commitment is I am to be a reflection of the Father God as His Son, following the perfect express image of Jesus Christ, His Son, the firstborn among many brethren. Can I get an amen? Yeah. And so we are here to be an image of God. And we'll see in just a second. It's simply found in being like Jesus, the first son. So my first role in life is to be a son of the Most High God. Now, married, if you're married, your second role is to be a husband or a wife. If you have children, your third role is to be a father or a mother. Then, in the body of Christ, we're all brothers and sisters. Amen? The brothers and the sisters in the house of God. Amen? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen? Okay. All right. Where is it at? Let's do it. I'm so glad I'm a part of... I just had to do that. I'm sorry. So, I'm first His son. I'm secondly Rhonda's husband. I'm thirdly father to Lacey and Kaylee. Fourthly, I'm a brother in Christ to you as brothers and sisters. And then fifthly, I'm a friend to the world around me. If you want to understand and have the mystery of life and relationships, hopefully we just explained it. The mystery of relationships is now unveiled. If you're a man, you're a son. If married, a husband. If children, a father. In Christ, in the church, a brother. And then you're a friend of the world around you. And ladies, you're a daughter. If married, you're a wife. With children, you're a mother, you're a sister, and you're a friend of the world around you. Hopefully, we just unveiled the mystery of relationships. God created us this way. Now I have a favorite statement that kind of sums it up all for me. It's a little statement that goes just like this. We were created in God's image. Then we exchanged His image. Then we are being transformed back into His image, and we are now to bear His image. Created, the fall of man, we exchanged it for our own desired image. It comes from Romans chapter 1. And then, praise God, even though we exchanged it in the fall of man, all we like sheep have gone astray, right? Each and every one of us has turned to his own way. All of us exchanged God's beautiful image in our sin, in our fallen nature, we exchanged it to the form that we wanted it to be. But thank God for Jesus. He came back so that we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, were changed, were transformed back into the same image. So we were created, then exchanged, then transformed back, and now we are to bear His image. There's a verse of scripture in Romans 1:23. If we can, I think we can find that one. I'm going to move pretty quickly here because I want to come simply to how it applies in our conclusion and turn it back over to David. And so we exchanged it. I've already mentioned that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. In every which way but loose, we have all done that in our fallen state. We exchanged it. We were created in it, then we exchanged it for what we wanted it to be, experiencing our fallen nature because we're sheep like we've gone astray. But then, praise God, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's the one that says, but we all with unveiled face. And see, we're unveiling the mystery of relationships. And with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed, or metamorphosis is the word. I create words sometimes, I'm sorry. I am so glad that I have been metamorphosized. Does that work? I have been metamorphosized. It might be, I don't look it up, Google it, I don't know. But metamorphosize me, you know, it's the cocoon thing. The worm becomes the butterfly. Exchanging, it's literally in the Greek definition, it's what we do. We take one thing and turn it into another. That's what we did in our sin. But Jesus came and died, was buried, and rose again the third day, which we got. Wasn't that great watching that happen in the symbolism of baptism? By the way, I got to thinking, I was here last Sunday with you. I got to do communion with First Baptist Pflugerville last Sunday, and I got to watch baptisms this Sunday. In two Sundays, I've had it all here with you. It's so exciting. And by the way, those little cup things, the little turn it upside down, the bread and the cup, I've used those kind that has it all. It's real hard to do. You pull it off, you spill the juice and everything. But man, that's a beautiful little goblet when you get. I kept mine. My granddaughter loves those things, you know, around the little table for the dolls. That beautiful little goblet is a take-home keepsake from communion. And so communion and water baptism, but it's a transformation. He takes us and transforms us into his form. Transformed. But then finally, all that happens so that the fourth point we get to now is, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, that's literally talking about when Jesus comes back, we're going to bear the perfect image in heaven. But you remember John chapter 15? John chapter 15 is where it says that in his is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. In this is my Father glorified. And by the way, what does it mean to bear or reflect his image? To bear the image or reflect the image is like to reveal it, to reflect it, to show it, to bring a spotlight on it. What does it mean to glorify God? It means to put the spotlight on who he is so others can see him and find him. Tracy's purpose in the essence of life itself is to be who I was created to be, and that's a reflection of who God is so that those around me can see an example of him. Now, sometimes I'm a good example. Sometimes, don't ask Rhonda. Okay, so you bear his image when you bear his fruit is where we're finally at. If we were created in his image to bear his image, here's something that can simplify life. And unveiling things, hopefully the difficult and the complex become very simple. I have to be simple about things to understand them, much less do them. And a little slogan, little nugget phrase came to us one time years ago, and it's very simply this. You bear his image when you bear his fruit. Using the word bear in two different ways there. You bear his image, meaning show it. You're an image bearer of his image. You bear his image like you bear the image of God. You do that by bearing fruit. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's Galatians 5. 22 and 23. If you can see that, it's Galatians 5. How many of you know the nine fruit of the Spirit? Could quote them right now. Do it with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nine fruit. I don't have time to do what sometimes I do, and that is for us to take time to say the word love and then just pause and just let it soak in. These nine fruit of the Spirit, could we have a motto for life itself? And by the way, if you're single, it applies to you every way in your life. As a single person, to your friends, in your life groups, on the job.
to your employer, if you're an employer, to your employees, if you're single, to those around you, who is experiencing these things in your life? You bear His image. You show who God is, His character and His nature. And one way you do that is you bear His image when you bear His fruit. That helps me. Those nine things that are right there. Now, if you think about those nine things, they can become landmarks for life. For instance, a real quick example of application. Let's say you're married. Let's say you're at home. Let's say you're together. Let's say you're wanting to get along. I'm sorry. And are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit? When your spouse encounters you, and it doesn't even have to be verbal, it can be nonverbal, very loud. Are they eating off of your tree, love, joy, peace, and all those nine things? What if you started looking at those nine things as landmarks for life? Or maybe like this, those nine things become your barometers for how you are showing and allowing others to experience Jesus in you. Rhonda doesn't need a husband that's becoming a better communicator, although book three is all about communication. We'll study communication principles. But Rhonda does not first need a better communicating husband. She needs a husband becoming more like Jesus. We can simplify these things. We've made life too complex. I am being a better husband, bearing fruit for Ron to experience a blessed life, is me seeking to become more like Jesus. One of the things that's the focus of that whole book series is simply that, yes, we'll study principles, yes, we'll look at this, and yes, we'll look at that, and conflict resolution principles, and all those many different things. But the whole premise of the whole thing is to present a way of looking at it in a fresh way, in that it's a pursuit of being Christ-like. It's a pursuit of discipleship, of being more like Him. The key to a healthy relationship as a single, wherever you are, the key to family life, parents, children, the key is being like Him. And those nine things can become little landmarks to help you know how you're doing. Amen? You know, the thing is, though, it's so simple when you think about it. It's so profound. I think I'll let a three-year-old explain it to us. What you're about to hear, seeing it with caption, she's seven. Our granddaughter is 7 years old now, Avery, and that's what we moved back from California for in 2014. But when she was 3 years old, she was in the back seat of the car with our daughter, Lacey, and she started saying some things that she had heard Grammy, sitting right back there, by the way, teach her at 3 years old. And what you're about to hear is the audio. Lacey just thought it was so awesome what was happening. She turned on her phone in the car, and we got the audio recorded of this. We still got it. These things about the nine fruit of the Spirit, let's let a three-year-old explain it to us.
I want to eat the good fruit.
You want to eat the good fruit?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's what Grammy told.
What's the good fruit?
We eat it so we can be peace. It means joy, love.
Joy, love? Anything else?
Yeah. I guess not.
Good talk, Grammy.
Yeah, I think we'll let a three-year-old get the first three, and that's good enough. Amen? And wasn't that the cutest thing in the world? I watched it. Y'all got in some kind of fun deal where one guy was showing pictures of grandchildren, and then I brought audio, man. But anyhow, there's Avery at 3 years old. I want to eat the good fruit. We edited it to get it at a time and place at the right length, but at one point early, she says, I don't want to eat the bad fruit. I want to eat the good fruit. And yeah, that's what Grammy told. Grammy was helping teach her at 3 years old. But let's bear the good fruit of the Holy Spirit, reflecting the image and nature and character of Jesus and therefore the Father in heaven. Let's bear that fruit so that whether we're single, engaged, married, have children, or helping others with their children, people, when they experience us, are experiencing the Father in heaven by the Holy Spirit in His fruit. That's the key for today, rediscovering God's original design for the mystery of relationships. Well, then finally, I want to wrap it up with a couple minutes here. A little application, just a few little tidbits here and there. How shall we then live as singles, couples, and families? And yes, that's a Francis Schaeffer thing there. Singles, whether we're men or women, boys or girls, young adults, whatever we are, if we are single today, what did we say earlier? We're to be a reflection as a son or a daughter. It's your essence. It's your being. It's what you were created to be and to do, to be like Him so that others can see Him. And so whether we're a man or a woman, boy or girl, a child, an adult, young person, if we're single, and by the way, ooh, profound. All of us started out single. We all have this even today. You have to know when to be a husband and when not to be. Come on. Huh? There's relationships I have as a husband, and it's with one woman. Her name's Rhonda. Amen? I got one thing to do as a husband, and it's one person that makes it real simple. But I'm a single to others, as friends, as brothers, whatever it is. So as a single, this applies to all of us. We're to bear, reflect the image of the Most High God as Father, as one of His sons or daughters. But here's a few ways you do that. All by yourself, but with the Lord, of course, meaning when you're just all alone. Are you bearing the nature and the image and the character of Christ? When you're walking through the grocery store, oh boy, I just had a flash of a story there, but I don't have time to tell it. Woo! Oh, man. All by yourself, just out and about. What about on the job? Bearing the fruit. Does that apply? Yes. Can you imagine the workplace environment that was full of that fruit? Employers, have it as a goal in your business. With your friends. Do they experience it? Life groups, small groups. Wouldn't it be amazing if before you walked into a small group, you went, you know, Lord, help me bear that fruit. And then in the church, we need that so much. Moving quickly to couples, husbands and wives. We're to leave, cleave, and become one flesh. I don't have time, but there's a verse in Ephesians that says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ in the church. We are to fulfill that verse. And by the way, it's in all caps in the New American Standard because it's a quote from the Old Testament. That's Genesis 2:24, original design applied to the marriage relationship. We need to become one so that others can see Christ and the church. That's how a couple can apply it. And then families. Aren't we called to bear the image of God and then multiply? Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Yes, that's talking about bearing and raising children. But in addition to that, it's talking about those who adopt. It's talking about those who foster children. And then I want to conclude with this. It's all of us helping others with their children. And isn't that what last week was all about? If you served in any way, you brought kids, found kids, worked with kids, we can all be a part of multiplying God's image, whether we're bearing and raising children or whether we're helping those children that are here and now, we're helping multiply. But guess what? It's not just more human beings. We're multiplying the image of God. We're multiplying how He is seen in the earth today. Well, you bear His image when you bear His fruit. If we can remember that one thing today, bear His image by bearing His fruit. I'd like to pray for us now, and then David's going to come up for the invitation time. You remember 2 Corinthians 3:18? It's all found in being transformed back into the same image. A verse right before that says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You turn to the Lord, and then He starts the transformation process. Father, thank You for today. Thank You, Jesus, for helping us unveil the mystery of the relationships in our world by rediscovering Your original design. Help us to know that we're created in Your image, and help us to know that in Jesus Christ, turning to Him, we can be transformed back into the same image. Help us make that decision today. if that's us here today. And then if we've already started that journey with you, help us turn back and be transformed so that we can reflect your image. Bless First Baptist Church Pflugerville and all the brothers and sisters in it, that we might be a reflection of who you are in this community and the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.